Well, welcome back, everyone. Paul Harmon here. This is a beautiful setting that we have, not only around the Word of God, but we get a chance to share the message today. This is the first Sunday in our new year, 2021, so Happy New Year, everyone. But I want to signal, first of all, you're going to be hearing me describe in the weeks coming about our new theme here at Hope Chapel, which is Already Won, W-O-N. Already won in 2021. We're believing some of us are going to take hold of and see the victories in our lives because of Calvary's cross and the resurrection. And our scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we thank God for Jesus. And we're going to begin today. But before we do, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for open hearts, open minds. I pray for all of us, Lord. Let us understand what your Holy Spirit is saying, because we're going to believe for some foundational settings, plans, and procedures that will really change our lives, we believe, forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, before I begin and even announce today's message, you know I like to start with a little humor. And I just want to bring back a couple of what we believe are voted on favorites. So here's number one for 2020. There was a man who was having hard of hearing, and his hearing was so difficult for him, he eventually went to the doctor. The doctor outfitted him with hearing aids, and his hearing was now 100%. A few months later, he returned back to the doctor. And the doctor said, man, your family must be so happy. Your hearing is perfect. And the man said, no, I haven't told him. I'm just sitting around listening to conversations, and I've changed my will 3 times. Well, that was one of the favorites of so many of you. Number two on the list, just want to pass that on. Man went in a yard sale and bought a used mower, took it home, is having a hard time starting it, took it back to the guy who sold it to him and said, listen, this mower doesn't work. I've tried starting it, nothing happens. And the man said, oh wait, forgot to tell you, you have to cuss at it. He said, cuss at it? I'm a Christian. I don't do those things anymore. And he said, well, keep pulling on that rope and it'll return to you. Anyway, there you go, the top two. Let me know what your favorite joke is and we'll maybe see how it can fit moving into this year. Well, moving into our message, today's message is entitled Reset Your Life and Make 2021 a Better Year. Reset your life and make 2021 a better year. I'm going to take a look at Psalm chapter 58, verse 8 and 9. If you've been following with me on newsletters that I've sent out, a couple of weeks ago, I felt the Lord impressed this reference to me, really felt it was a word, and even shared it with pastor friends here in our community. Let me read it to you, and we'll begin. It says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. There's a wonderful reference there, and I am believing, I'm asking God even today for you, that God would open our understanding, that we would be able to hear God, because we're going to see some things. We know at this time of every given year, there are people that will set aside the New Year resolution, set goals, but we have some things we want to discuss, you and I want to share with you how to walk out the plans that God has for you. How many remember the old toy, the classic toy, Etch-a-Sketch? When you take a look at, see something, you say, okay, I want to start over, and you just kind of shake it up a little bit and start over. So many of you said, man, last year was very challenging. I want a do-over. I want a restart, like the Etch-a-Sketch. I wish life would work that way, but the ability to navigate our lives like that classic toy really isn't really a factor until we say, Lord, how am I going to rearrange things and make positive choices that will impact things? And I want to highlight, because we know Psalm 139, verse 16. Let me read that to you. Because God does have a plan. He set it in motion for your life since the day he even created you. Listen what the word says. You saw me before I was born. This is the New Living Translation. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God has planned things for your lives, but it's not just going to come about. That's important. I remember when it dawned on me, God has plans for my lives. I do want to cooperate with him, but that means I have to cooperate. It's not just going to fall in line. It's kind of like God does desire all men everywhere to be saved, to come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? No. It's a choice that people will have to make. God's plan, God's will is for everyone to be saved. God has a plan. It's written in his book, but it's going to make a choice on our end to say, I want to follow what God has. So asking the Holy Spirit, what is it that you have for me in 2021? Not what I think I should do, not what I'm wanting to see happen, but Lord, what you want. We all have resolutions, we all have goals, but let's just consider what it is that God has for you this coming year. Let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's add a little bit more, because it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared beforehand that we should. So the ultimate life is the life that God prepared for us. That would be the ultimate life for me. Lord, I want the ultimate life. It's the one you prepared for me. I know that's your desire too. You have to think with me, God, I want now what you want for my life. If you really have planned things for me, set it in motion, Lord, direct me to those steps. Now, Jesus was the one in John chapter 10, verse 27. You can write that down. I know you're taking notes, and you will want to take notes today. I know you will, because you're going to see and hear things, say, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. But Jesus said that my sheep know me, and they hear my voice. Also, remember when he came along and he told his followers, he said also in John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So let's take a look at those two things. God says you can hear and know his voice. God says the Holy Spirit will give you direction. When I understood that God has to speak to me, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There are a lot of people that say, well, I'm just going to hope that this coming year is going to be a better year. Listen, you have much more grace on your life. You have the favor of the Lord on your life. And you're just going to sit back and think that somehow we hope that it's going to be a better year. I remember now setting aside at least 3 hours. And I want to encourage you, take a moment now and write down 3 hours. Every time about this setting with a new year, I'll take 3 hours. It's now grooved into about a whole day where I will sit quietly and seek God on certain aspects of my life for that year. I find where I'm either in a quiet place or maybe a distant setting where I just feel like I get to spend that time with the Lord. Many of you are aware, and you have even participated with me, I always like to give God first things. It's been a habit since 1988 where I set aside the first 1 hour of the new year from 12 midnight to 1 in the morning where I pray. And we have done that at Hope Chapel, and God has wonderfully enriched our church and our lives. I do remember the time that I discovered the need for just seeking God for direction for my life. It was really in 1988. I remember the time I was feeling the element of pain. I was feeling really the pressure and, quite frankly, fear, because things were just so challenging in our little struggling church in Banning, California. And I remember, Lord, what is it that you have for me? Give me a word, give me a direction. And it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Simply says, rejoice always. What? Rejoice always. That was my word, and I was going to obey God, and I did. I felt the need to just have a song in my heart. If you know me, I do continue to sing in different ways and formats, singing in the Spirit. But it was in 1988, and I'm telling you, I felt God's not doing anything. There were months where it's like, this is so challenging. What is this? Maybe I didn't hear from God. Rejoice always. And so eventually it was on a hot August day. It felt like, literally, I don't know how to describe, it's like God took and opened my eyes. It was a literal breakthrough. And in 1988, I felt things had shifted so. I recognized that that element of rejoicing, elements of song, elements really of praise and worship, was the life flow of breakthrough for me in Banning, California, where those things that were oppressive over that church for literally 50 years literally broke. I did not have really what we would call intercessory prayer people. It was Lord just showing me and raising me up. Since we came there in 1986 to 1988 and 89, it was the breakthrough year. And I've got to say, in 1990, that whole decade was one of expansion and growth. The church purchased, the church built, people came to the church. But I can relate it back to, Lord, show me, what is your plan for me? And it was, in that setting, no big deal, but put a song in my heart. Well, I have many more stories like that, spending time with the Lord about this time in a new setting, a new year. Lord, what is that plan that you have for me in the year 2021? Let's consider that. Number one, let's consider these three areas. They're choices, because choices are so important. Remember, we know God has a will and a plan for each person, every one of you, but it's going to require you to make that choice to follow along with him. We don't want to just say, well, if it's God's will, it'll just happen. Let's take a look. Number one, the choice to change. The choice to change. If God starts to show you something, are you willing to change? Letter A, reject the myth that your life will just get better. Can you just put that aside and say, man, I'm just not going to consider that anymore, that I'm just going to believe God's going to make my life better. It's going to require a choice for you to change. Stop living doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's all we're saying here. It's important. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. Proverbs 24, 3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. So if you look at that, it says wisdom and good sense, not luck. Through wisdom and good sense, a house is built. It's not luck. Boy, there are some Christians that say, well, I'm really hoping that we'll have better luck this year. Oh my, don't even use those phrases. Don't use that. But here we are doing the same manner, the exact same thing, handling the same issues, repeating the same results, and thinking that maybe the results might be different because the calendar has changed. Hello, I hear the Spirit of God saying, I've got better for you. I've got something better for you to enjoy. And we know that there are things that happen beyond our control. Let's acknowledge that. That's important for us. Sometimes we lose our jobs. Medical issues happen, poor health, sickness, even death of a loved one. So when we deal with that, it's very challenging. God works through that. All things work together for good to those who love God, Romans 8, 28. But there are things that God has for us that we need to consider. Let's look for a moment here, because when we deal with letter B now, find God's direction for the new year. Let's look at this together. This is how I operate. I want to submit this to you because we all want our year to be a better year, but we can't just sit back and just hope and assume It's going to be better. Let's do something about it with God's plan. And first of all, it's interesting to note, here's how it works for me. Number one, take a look at that. Reserve a few hours or a day in your schedule and put it down, because you're going to really be tempted to cancel that. There's going to be opportunities to cancel, but I am going to schedule some time, at least 3 hours in a complete setting, to seek the Lord, to hear from Him, because the Holy Spirit will direct you. Number two, find a place, spot where you won't be distracted. That's important, whether it's a park or a lake or a room where no one's home. That's important. Number three, take your Bible, a journal, and a pencil or a pen, because you're going to be writing it down. You're going to write it down what you're feeling God is telling you. It's going to sound like your voice or your conscience, but you're going to know it's God. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can convey that. You're going to know. Write it down like a ready writer, pen of a ready writer. I like that. And then move on to number four. Start by letting Jesus know that He is your Lord. You're ready? Everything's there? Got your water set aside? There's many times I fast during this setting. And you go ahead and, Lord, I desperately need to hear from You about some of these things in my life. Number five, begin asking God for direction regarding various roles in your life. What are the roles that you hold in your life? I'm going to share with you what I have listed, and maybe some of them might correlate with your own life. But here, I ask God, Lord, I'm ready to hear as God's child. I'm Your child. What is it that You have for me? How can we improve this relationship? Just listen. You're not talking, you're listening. God will show you. I bet He will show you. Another one, how about for me? I probably should add emotional or maybe physical well-being. God might show you there's ways that you need to improve, or certainly has for me. Keep exercising, Paul. Don't delay that. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God so admires your body, one day He's going to resurrect that body of yours and transform it. So He's into bodies. He's into your body, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number three, take your Bible and come along, and then all of a sudden, the element of as a husband. That's important. God will speak to you maybe through the Word, but as a husband to my wife, Ainsley. Lord, what is it? Oh, He's given me such keys to rich marriage. I loved it when I got Proverbs 10:22, where He just said that the blessings of the Lord make one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Wow, and there was just tension and sorrow at times in our early stages of our marriage. I just realized that's not from the Lord. It could be my flesh acting up, or it could be my wife. The amount of times I went into the bathroom and confessed all my wife's sins, and then I realized it's really me. So, Lord, what are some of the key roles? It's been a great ride when God speaks to you how to be a better spouse. Also, as a provider, if you are a homemaker, if you're dealing with areas, God will show you how to organize things. Oh, for me, it was how to be a peacemaker in your home. If you've got young children, how to be a peacemaker in your home. Listen for God's Holy Spirit. He'll show you. Just write it down. You'll be impressed with that. How about as a father and a grandfather now for me? Lord, what is it? And I list my three children, their spouses, now my 10 grandchildren. What are the ways, Lord, that You want me to relate to them? And sometimes everyone will have something where I need to be more mindful of. And then as a minister, as a pastor, there are specific roles that I perform as a minister. That's important. And you'd say, well, I just thought you would just be praying about the church. Well, that's another whole nother situation. I'm just talking about for our lives personally. And as a minister and as a pastor, there are certain roles, certain responsibilities that God might say, you know what, Paul, you need to delegate that off. That is not what I have for you to do at this season. That's important. Are there areas for you? Isn't it nice when the Lord shows you about that? Another one is the extended family members. I have brothers. I have a sister. My mother-in-law, Lord, what is it that you have? The extended relatives? Sometimes the Lord might just say, which he has, just call them more. Give them encouraging text messages. And so I just write that down. And then finally, number six, title it God's Direction for 2021. That's it. That's really it. God's direction. And put that somewhere where you can take a look at that. Why? That's going to be a part of your testimony as the years unfold. Oh, you will love it. You will love it. It will be enriching to your life. You'll see how the Lord has come through for you. But choices have the power to really bring life or death. Are you aware of that? Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 to 20 says just that. When God told a whole nation, I set before you life or death, blessing or cursing. And he says, please, in case you get confused, choose life. So our choices really do. There's a ripple effect on what we choose. That's why it's important when the Lord gets opportunity to speak to us about situations. Don't be afraid that somehow he will or will not tell you. It's amazing just to honor him, to come before him and say, Lord, I need to hear from you. And these are some of the areas I really want to hear. What do you have to say? God will so honor you for honoring him. I can't wait to hear some of those stories. So it's important. Every choice we make will either send a ripple effect of life and blessing, or a ripple effect of death and cursing. So be careful about that. Watch out. I remember in 2014, there was a time that I was so strained and so overworked, literally spent, exhausted. That was a time that I was coming off of the board of the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. I was a board member for 6 years. I served on the cabinet for 11 years. I was the area pastor for 4 years, overseeing 48 churches, helping our district supervisor. I remember serving on subcommittees, our FMI missions committee, our urban cultural missions committee as well. And it was an amazing, tense, exhausting time. And I literally was saying, I need to go on a sabbatical for 3, maybe 6 months, or I just need to kind of resign from everything. And I felt like the Lord just says, go over your calendar. What are those things that you are doing? Make a decision. Make choices. And I'm now speaking to you, and I'm sure glad I did. I literally resigned from area pastorship, felt that those things were all taken care of. I came off the board. I've served my duty. And wow, when I changed the approach of those months and many, many involved years, I don't know how the church survived. I was just so grateful for a capable pastoral team that really pastored the church here at Hope Chapel. But you and I, on occasion, might say, I'm feeling spent, I'm exhausted, I'm weary. Well, what are those things that you might need to make a decision on? Choices about your marriage or parenting? Choices about your scheduling? Choices that you're dealing with areas of just even small changes? I find even small changes do bring about a creative adjustment that really, really is beneficial. It's important. Let's take a look here. Number two, the choice to risk. First one was a choice to really change. You really change. Make that decision. Hear from God. But the choice to risk. That's really what faith feels like. You say, I'm going to just trust God and go for it. Well, it's going to feel just like this. You're going to risk because there's going to be a change. Take a look with me in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. I like this reference. It says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I like that verse. Always have. It's our Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you far more than you could even imagine. Fear not. God has things for you to enjoy. It's amazing. There's no real change in anyone's life without risk. To sit back and say, well, There's nothing I can do about it. Well, watch out. There is. Don't ever give up the power of choice that you have. Never surrender your power of choice saying, well, I'm just not going to do anything with it. Watch out, because the choice, the risk is so important. Let's take a look, because there are some people that have a fatalistic mentality. Well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. What are those people thinking? God has given you dominion and authority. You just need to be discipled. Come on down to Hope Chapel. Let's talk. Let's talk about who you are in Jesus. But letter A, fear is what keeps you from taking risks. Fear is what really keeps you from taking risks. Why? Well, probably it's so familiar to me because we fall in love with the familiar. It's like, well, I'm afraid to make a choice and change things. Literally, I'm afraid to risk. I just like to have things that are familiar to me. Old routines, old habits, old lifestyles. It doesn't seem to produce anything. I'm in the same terrible calamities, but at least it's familiar calamity. Oh, dear one, don't do that to yourself. Fear of making the wrong choices. People have a fear of the unknown, of giving up some control. So they just don't make any choices. They don't risk. That's what we're taking a look at, the choice to risk. You know the famous seven last sayings of a dying church? We never have done it that way. We've never done it that way. That is it. That's what a dying church is all about. Many people over the years, I know a number of them who say, man, their life's just not working out, but I just am afraid to do something about it. May the Lord, matter of fact, let's take a moment right now. Let me just pray for you. If there's a reminder that's coming to you saying, I know I need to do something, I just am afraid to do it. Heavenly Father, you know who they are right now, and I'm speaking to you. That the Lord would like to remind you there is no fear in perfect love. That as your Heavenly Father embraces you, there is a love that He has for you. And you're not doing these things alone. Heavenly Father would like to tell you, He is going to work miracles through you to trust and to obey. You're going to see the breakthroughs you've always wanted. Take care of listening to the voice of your Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask, let there be such a clear clarion call that they just know that is God speaking to me. Well, there are people that just, they know their marriage is not working. They are just kind of dying on the vine as parents. They're just struggling at work. They feel lonely. They're drowning in guilt. But they'll say, I just am afraid to do anything about it. I'm completely stressed out. And they just continue to live in that same vortex. Oh, Lord, help you. And He will. The Lord will help you. Fear is what paralyzes our lives. It really is. It's what it's happening to so many. Remember, to have faith. Have faith means you're going to risk. And that's really letter B. Risk is what a life of faith looks like. That's it. Remember, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God. So it's important for us. The area of your life that you know God's wanting to move you in another area, you're not quite certain what it's going to look like, have faith in God. What does that mean? You're going to risk because you're going to make a decision and you're going to make a choice. I want to add here, looking at Luke chapter 12, look at verse 6 with me. And Luke 12:6. Check it out what he says. Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. God knows everything about you. Do not fear. Everything. God knows every detail of every issue in life. When you read the great faith of people in Hebrews chapter 11, it's amazing the risks that they take. That is, faith is requiring people to take a risk. Faith requires us to say, I'm going to do something I've never done before. That's powerful. Wow, that is an amazing thing, because we're believing that 2021 is going to be a unique and a different day for you. Remember, fear equals weakness. Faith brings in the power of God. It requires you to risk taking faith into action. So you're ready to improve your marriage? How wonderful is that? That's great. Or to grow past personal issues? Boy, isn't that great? The Lord can show you that. You just know, I am done feeling and experiencing these things. Well, I want to just take a look now. Let's look at a couple of things. One is, because if you've just went through life, just navigating life because others are navigating it for you, now's the time you might want to consider there are some other things besides the Lord working his plan and will for you. Let's deal with number three, the choice to grow. Choice to grow. In other words, meaning improve, to do things that you are going to commit yourself to personal growth. That's just kind of exciting. Just going to lay it on out there, because some people are all about personal growth and development. But let's see what Jeremiah 29:11, that's a familiar passage, says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's a wonderful thing. Have you experienced that, or are you just reading that and seeing that? Because we kind of fall into the proverbial rut. And you know what a rut is. They often say it's really a grave in the ground with two ends on it. You're just kind of stuck. What would a rut look like for people? Let me give you some highlights of what a rut will produce in a person's life, because you realize, well, I need to grow a little bit. I need to develop in some areas. Here's what a rut will do. Your life is defined by monotony. It's just same routines over and over. Your life is defined by very little or no joy. There is nothing that gets you excited to get up in the morning. Also, your life has no fire or passion. There is really no fun anymore. There's nothing that is exciting or inventive for you. That's a rut as well. Another one, as you go through the motions every day, your mind is literally on neutral. If you've learned your job so much that you don't even have to think about it anymore, wow, that really is a tough rut. There's no challenge anymore. Another one is you have no real hope regarding your future. I don't even think about it anymore. Oh, wow. That would be a bummer. No planning, no expectation. Holy Spirit's a life giver, and anything that's alive grows. So it's important for us to consider. Another one is you feel trapped in your lifestyle, your job, your relationship, and you've kind of resigned yourself to just be that. That's me. Watch out for that. And then finally, your life is like black and white. No HD TV, no high definition anymore. It's like, that is so bland. Be careful about that. If that's that area, wow, let God renew your heart. He's got something for you. I know that to be the case. But here are four. I just want to highlight them. You can consider how you might do that, but just consider this when we talk about the choice to grow. Letter A, develop a plan for personal growth. That means intentional growth. Lord will show you, I want to grow in these areas. I don't want to be the same person 5 years from now. Letter B, develop a plan for spiritual growth. Not just personal growth, but spiritual growth. Do you have a Bible reading plan? I'm going through the chronological reading of the Bible right now. It's very important and exciting for me. How about the area of just prayer habits? Or maybe you're just serving in some new capacity. Or you just realize, well, you need to step it up and give. You say, well, I'm doing all that, Pastor Paul. If it's still kind of a rut or a routine, I would say increase a little bit then. Why don't you increase your faith and increase in all those levels? Do a little bit more. Make it exciting for you. Spiritual growth. Letter C, develop a plan for relational growth. That's important. How's your marriage? are you willing to go to conferences? Are you ready to take a look at maybe some online teaching elements for marriages? A book I would recommend, The Power of the Other, The Power of the Other by Dr. Henry Cloud. It's a good one. Just develop relationships. Are there relationships that require you to grow in and to do better? Don't just say, well, we'll just live this way. Oh, I know you're mature, and I know you want to see things improve. And letter D, the final, develop a plan for professional growth. So many of you in this wonderful Orange County area, wow, we're all about being so good and quality in our efforts. That's what I love about the people of Hope Chapel. Well, they give their best, they do their best, they apply their best. And I know the Lord's pleased. I know I am. But how about in your professional growth? Areas of maybe as a manager or a boss or even an employee. You should be the best employee at that company, the best boss anybody's ever worked for. So it's important when we consider that. I've often said, you either grow or you go. I mean, we need to do that for the kingdom. You grow, keep growing, because if you're stalled out, it's time for you to go. So it's important for us, once again, increase in knowledge, increase in skill, increase in your abilities and your work. So I think it's important for us. And again, I just want to highlight here, we started off with Psalm 85, verse 8 and 9. Let's take a look at that verse again. I believe the Lord is speaking to us, speaking to you. And it says here, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I want that, and I know you do too. Let's continue. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. That's you. But let them not return back to folly, which means foolishness. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. I believe this year is going to be outstanding. I don't care what anybody says, but for the people of God who are following the direction of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is going to come on the land, and we will bless our cities and our neighborhoods and our families. Let's make the choice to do what we know is the best, the choice to change, the choice to risk, the choice to grow. It's going to be a great 2021. I know the Lord's going to speak to you. Great victories are ahead for us. That's our theme this year in 2021, already won, according to Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's Jesus. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you as we prepare our hearts now for communion. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just allow us now to hear your voice. Why would we experience so many breakthroughs and great God-given victories? It's because of Jesus. We are in covenant with Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for this bread and this juice. Lord, because of the body and the blood of Christ, we're in covenant with you in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you. Let's take your communion elements right now. I'm going to take hold of the wafer. Let's apply that. And if you are with somebody, that wouldn't be great. Let's go ahead. If you didn't get a chance to get your communion elements, at least hold your hands up and say, Lord, I thank you and give my life to you because you've given your life to me. And he will promise to secure and bring health and wholeness to your body and mind. So, Lord, thank you for the healing touch that's upon us right now in Jesus' name. We entered this relationship through Christ by faith. We are saved by grace through faith, and we receive the blessings of divine healing and health the same way, by faith. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate. Amen. Let's go ahead and take our cup. Once again, it was Jesus that says, this cup now represents my blood shed for you. We discussed a couple of weeks ago the epic love of God for you. And one of it was how Jesus came and died. Greater love has no one than this, that he gives his life for his friends. And you are Jesus' child, Jesus' friend. He loves you. So we want to thank the Lord that we're going into this new year squeaky clean, no sin. And let God continue to bring you victory till you have victory over anything that tries to entrap you and brings you back into bondage. So, Lord, thank you for the blood of Christ that not only cleanses us, but allows us to walk in victory right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I love the Lord, and I thank you, and I love you, and I hope you get a chance to write me. Would you go ahead in that prayer request or praise report box, or maybe even sign up for our newsletter by going to hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Would you go ahead and sign up for our church newsletter email? We'll give you updates as well and get a better relationship going on. I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been my honor and delight. And on behalf of the Harmon family, and in particular, Ainsley and Paul Harmon, Happy New Year, everyone. God bless you. Let's enjoy this great, victorious year together in Christ. Bye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.